thank you, thank you. This is great. Okay. Whew. Okay, excellent. So now is the time that I get to introduce our speaker. Right? Okay, good. Thank you. She knows. So, yes, we are, Patty and I are kind of a team here. We're helping Millie out on the Wednesday night forum here, and we're just having a blast doing it. And thank you all for coming. As Millie would say, thank you for coming. And you can always go to Millie's Corner. Millie's Corner, isn't it? And you can hear all of these talks going back over 10 years. Every single solitary talk. And there are, and the talks, you know, they only have the talk. So they're like 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there or whatever, or however long they talk for. And so that's just kind of a good little ditty to know. And I am here to introduce our beautiful speaker here. This is Reverend Patty Walsh, who has been a reverend in the church longer than I can remember. You were a reverend even when I got here. Probably I got here, I mean, just to let you know, to let it be clear that Reverend Millie ordained you, correct? Mm-hmm. She and that was, how many years have you been a reverend here? Okay, so I've been here. Yeah, that's how long she's been a reverend here, right? And she's been such a great foundation for our church, and she's just so wise and wonderful and great at healing. And if you ever want any spiritual guidance, go to Reverend Patty. She'll be more than happy to talk to you. And so I'm going to let her take the floor, and I'd like to introduce Reverend Pat Walsh.
Well, tonight, I decided to talk about Edgar Cayce to begin with, because he took a look at Jesus and his life and what wasn't said in the Bible. Now, can you all hear me okay?
No.
Okay. Oh, I don't do too well shouting, but I'll try to speak up. Yeah, I'll speak up. Thank you. So, Edgar Cayce, do any of you know who he is? Oh, okay. The book on Edgar Cayce, The Sleeping Prophet, was the first book that I read when I got into spiritualism. And he is one of my favorite characters. When I cross over, I hope he's still there, I want to talk to him. And I want to learn more from him. He is just awesome. And he's lived many different lifetimes. But this last one, he was a photographer. And he was just a character as well. When he was, he actually got sick, and he had a paralysis of the vocal cords, and the doctors didn't know what to do with that. So they tried hypnosis, that didn't work, but one of his friends actually taught him how to go into trance. And he diagnosed himself what he needed and what would help him, and he was cured. So the doctors, this was in Kentucky, the doctors printed up information about him in one of the medical journals, and he was busy thereafter because he would go into a trance, like going to sleep, and his wife would just touch his cheek and say who the person was and where they lived. And that's all he needed. And then he would do a reading, and he would wake up, and he wouldn't even know what he had said. And there is there's an Association of Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, And any of you are welcome to go there. And they have recorded all of, or put in books, I'm not sure how they did that, but all of his readings. And he did over 14,000 readings. 14,000, can you imagine? And that was over a period of 43 years. Now, what's interesting about Edgar is at 6 o'clock, at age 6, he would know things, and he would share those things. And when he went to school, he would sleep on his books, and he would get a near photographic memory of what was written. Try it. Yeah, I mean, if Edgar could do that, maybe some of us could. That's fascinating. Yeah. And he was a medical diagnostician, a prophet, and a devoted proponent of the Bible. And every year he would read the Bible from end to end in the year. Amazing. Just the neatest guy. One story that I thought was particularly interesting, when I read some of the books about Edgar, his photography studio was upstairs, and he saw this guy walking on the street, and this guy really didn't like him. And he wanted to see if he gave the guy a thought, would he come up to the door? So a few minutes later, he hears this rapping on the door, and the guy says to him, I don't know why I'm here. And Edgar probably said, oh, really? And he realized that wasn't the way to work with people, because it was a measure of control, and that wasn't okay. So it was the only time he really did that. But I thought, you know, we all have to test things out. And some of the things aren't as cool as we originally think they would be. So, when he tuned in, he also picked up that Adam and Eve was the first cause. And I didn't realize how... Oh. Because Adam had disobeyed God, he had to put on mortality. So we have to die in this life. We couldn't just keep living. Interesting, huh? So he looks at Jesus, and Jesus' purpose coming here was to start a new thought going in the world from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And he says that Jesus was Adam. I remember reading that a long time ago, and I thought, wow, that's really interesting. He was Enoch, Melchizedek, Joseph, Joshua, and Jesus in the Bible. So when you look at Jesus, he was like you and I, where we have different incarnations and we progress with them. Very interesting. So he sets up in the Bible, when you go through Jesus, you get what you want. And he sets up the pattern that all of us can follow. Pretty fascinating. Think about that, the different incarnations that Jesus had. You know, when you're going about your work the next couple days or the next couple weeks, and see what you think about that. you know, because Edgar picked up on this, you don't have to believe it, but it certainly is interesting. So Jesus, as the last Adam, as in the first, where everyone then had to go through and die and come back and go through the school again and learn and grow. So the last Adam are all made alive. So once we progress in consciousness and really have that tie to the Almighty, we don't have to go through death again. And when you read about illness and things like that, those are just lessons for us. We really don't need to be sick. But there's a lesson in each illness, something that our soul needs to grow in. Okay, so Matthew and Luke begin with a coming of the Messiah when Mary, before she came to her husband, was with child through the Holy Ghost. And you know that from the Bible. And Luke records only a few months before Jesus' birth, and then talks about John as the forerunner, John the Baptist. So, who was the angel that announced to Mary that she would conceive a child that would be called the Son of God? Do you remember that? Michael. I think, well, maybe it was. I thought it was Michael.
No, David was mentioned.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. So, when you look at Mary, who was Mary's mother?
Anna.
And she was an Immaculate Conception. And then her child, Mary, was an Immaculate Conception, as was Jesus. And Joseph came in to keep everything straight. And so that the people on the earth plane could go along with all of that, which is very interesting. So at 13, Mary was chosen to be one of the 12 maidens that would eventually give birth to the Son of God. And when she gave birth to Jesus, she was 16 and Joseph was 36. Yeah, a difference. Yeah. But they were raised, all of them were raised by the group of Essenes. Have you heard of Essenes? The religious group. Okay, some of you have. In 1947, when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, they talked about the Essenes being a group that really marked the time that the Messiah would come, and they worked at becoming ready for that event that would change the world. And Edgar Casey tunes into the Essenes way before that. And he tuned into the Essenes that lived on Mount Carmel. So they were all taught how to prepare themselves, and the 12 maidens were really taught physically how to be strong. They ate special foods. They didn't ever drink anything that was fermented. And the whole idea was to purify themselves in what they were doing. Now, at the time, what were the other religious groups like? They were interesting. And these are the people of Palestine. Orthodox Jews held to the law of the prophets or the Mosaic law. And the Hebrew scripture contained the Mosaic laws, the writing of the old prophets, and the way of acceptance and grace in a spiritual sense. And then what about the Samaritans? See, I remember reading this stuff, but it never really stuck. But the Samaritans were a mixed group, intermarriage of the Jews in the land and the Babylonian exiled with people of the conquerors who brought them into the land. They also held to the Mosaic law, but they interpreted it differently by their teachers. What about the Grecian and Roman people? Their whole idea was glorify the body itself as a channel through which there might be the divine might select who comes through that body. But the Essenes were really interesting. They learned more than the other people. Astrology was part of their learning. Numerology. Phrenology. Do you know what that is? Counting the bumps on your head. Or I should say, it's not just counting. It's really interpreting those. I've never gotten into that.
Before
what?
BB, before Botox.
Very good, very good. And reincarnation. And Edgar Cayce refers to reincarnation as resurrection. So you're coming back again, which is kind of interesting. So the Essenes kept records of the periods and the individuals that were visiting with the supernatural and any out of the ordinary experience and that would occur in dreams, visions, voices, and they kept track of all of this because they were interested. And the name Essene means expectancy. So they were expecting the Messiah. So they were watching and waiting and keeping track with astrology of the time and what was going on. And in the land of Israel, think about this. What was their purpose? And this so happens to all of us on the earth plane. They expected to be free from bondage. They expected to be led to victory over all their enemies and to set up a government that would bring peace and prosperity to all the individuals and raise them up as a nation to a position of glory and prominence. They were in bondage to Rome, who charged them heavy taxes, and they really didn't like the conquerors of Rome. And so often, instead of having a spiritual goal, we have a material goal like that. And as we progress in consciousness, we have the ability to move more towards a spiritual goal. And the Essenes were there, which was very interesting. Okay. Now, who was in charge of the Essenes? It was Judy. Now, this is interesting. Women were second class or third or fourth class in the countries at that time. And some countries haven't moved much beyond that, which is interesting. Phineas, do you remember ever hearing about Phineas? I've heard the name, but I couldn't say I remembered him. And his wife, Elkatma, is how I would say it. I don't know if that's correct. They were told that they would have a child that would be dedicated to the Lord. Well, she comes, and she's a she. And everybody was shocked. Well, it should have been a boy, according to the ideas of that time. But they held their faith and their beliefs, and they knew what they had been told by Spirit was true, so they raised her, and she not only became a prophet, a healer, and also a teacher and a recorder, which was really remarkable in that time that she was a woman. And she worked with Zermada, a lady who had really worked spiritually with the Syrophoenician people, studied astrology, and developed abilities as a dreamer, a mediator, seers, or prophetess, and with the people of the Far East. And those two ladies, Judy and Zermada, worked together for the betterment of mankind. They didn't just go for their own ego, which was pretty interesting, and they could have, but they were more developed. And they talk about the wise men. They were from Persia, India, Egypt, and they knew what to look for, the Star of the North, to see where Jesus was born in the stable. Very interesting. Really, when you think of all the work behind the scenes to create the Messiah coming, it's pretty remarkable. So the birth of Jesus, Casey says, was January the 6th, which is the Epiphany. It wasn't December 25th. So you can decide what you believe in. And it was interesting, as they were going to pay their taxes, and they get to the inn, and the innkeeper, Apsifar, was an Essene. But he kept that under wraps. He didn't share that with too many people, because in that time, he would have really had a bad time with that. He was of Jewish descent, and he was Grecian as well. So he just kept it to himself. Now his daughter, Seraphah, knew what the plans were to save Jesus and Mary and Jesus, all three of them, from having any problems. So that's how they were told there's no room in the inn, because it wouldn't have been safe for them. So staying in the stable made more sense. And they could hear when the baby was born, music of the spheres. Wouldn't that have just been fantastic to hear that? The angels sang and brought joy. That would have been so neat. Now, why did the wise men go to tell Herod, who was second and third in authority, what they had seen instead of going to the Romans? See, the Romans had conquered the people, but they sure weren't liked. And so the wise men told Herod, but they hadn't quite looked into the future far enough to see what Herod would do. So you know the rest of the story. But fascinating to look back in time and to see so many of the same miracles happen now. And when you get an in-depth look, you can see that there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. When we ask the angels to help us, we're wondering why sometimes it takes so long. It's getting everything in order for you. So being patient while you're waiting for whatever the desire is that you want is challenging for all of us. But that's the normal occurrence that, you know, it takes a while to get everything set. When we don't get a job that we want, when we look back at it later, we know the reason. It wasn't wonderful. A couple of you have probably had that happen. I have. And I heard about the job later and I went, glad I missed out on that one. But when you have an opportunity, pick up some other books by Edgar Cayce. He is awesome. Just awesome in his diagnosis. And he's taught a lot of medical professionals a lot by some of the things he has said. And interesting. He was also Ra, R-A, in Egypt. And what was interesting, he had such charisma that he could do practically anything. And one of his sons in this life was over him in that life and was concerned that Edgar, who was Ra, would take over. Very interesting. And he saw his wife Gertrude in this last life in Egypt, and she was married to someone else. I want her. And he took her, you know. So he had an ability to do more things because of his charisma than probably was absolutely wonderful. But he was married to her in this last life as well. Interesting character. And well worth reading some of the books about him, because you will learn a lot from him. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. It's always fun to hear your talks like that. Edgar Cayce was one of my first books that I read on in this thought this pattern, too. He's got a lot. Yeah, The Sleeping Prophet really helped a lot of people. Thank you.
Probably he was the...